98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, we're actually going to begin the 4 o'clock reset with basketball and a familiar name resurfacing as a potential target for the Phoenix Suns. Sham Sharania reporting earlier today that the Suns are still contenders for the services of Thaddeus Young this season, Gambo.
Yeah, it's a good name. I mean, he's a solid player. He's a veteran player, been in this league for a long time. He gives you good length at 6'8". You know, could play power forward. He could play center, so... You know, that's a guy that could really help you. Good defensively is what you're looking for. It's a name that makes sense. I still think it's somewhat difficult to do because he's got a $14 million salary, and you've got to come within about 25% of that salary. So, you know, you probably got to give back, you know, $9, $10 million, and you got to try to make it work. It's not easy to make a trade work, but it's been a name that's been on their radar for a while. They definitely like him.
Over to baseball, the Diamondbacks have lost three in a row. They lost Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Philadelphia. Now, a new series against the Padres. Torrey Lovello said Caleb Smith's appeal for use of a foreign substance will be heard on Thursday. So you got that. And then you also have Tyler Gilbert making a start against the team that he no-hit in his first ever start.
Yep. Yeah, Tyler Gilbert. Looking forward to watching that kid, see if they've got something with him. He had a really good first start, then the second one not so good, then the third one was good. But just continue to give these guys... You know, the opportunities to go out there and play. You know, they've gotten rid of, they've moved on from Asdrubal Cabrera and Josh Reddick and some of the veteran players, and they've given the younger players like Dalton Varsho and Paven Smith and Ellis. You got to continue to give these guys opportunities to see what they can do. This season's been lost for a long time. You're going to lose 100 plus games. Give the young guys a chance to play.
Yeah, 44-88 right now, starting that series with the Padres.
And that bullpen is just amazing to me, just how bad. Seventh, eighth, and ninth innings are an absolute disaster.
Yeah, it's
I watched
good.
Some of the games this weekend, man. It is incredible how many runs they give up in the late innings.
It's not great. But Tyler Gilbert was really like the lone bright spot this season, that game against the Padres on, I want to say it was August 14th. It was just,
yeah, they had the Padres number that week.
They did. They won 3 out of 4.
Yep.
Until Fernando Tatis came back. Over to football, Carson Wentz, one of three Colts players who was placed on the COVID reserve list today. So he's already working his way back from an injury, and now he's on the COVID list as well.
Yeah, they had two players replaced, I think, or is it three players are on close contact and stuff like that. So, yeah, well, I think a Stafford tested positive, and then three players were close contact to him, so now they're out. So tough start. I mean... You know, if Wentz has to miss the season opener, they'll probably go with Jacob Eason. He'll end up starting for the Colts if Wentz is not able to play in week one.
That's another team. 11-5 last year, made the playoffs, almost beat the Bills, and now you might be starting Jacob Eason in week one.
I know, crazy. But that's, you know, you. Phillip Rivers is coaching high school football and loving it. Did you see that?
I did see
this
that.
This is where I need to be. Phillip Rivers coaching high school football in, is it Texas?
I've got nine kids. That should fill out pretty much the entire offense.
He's somewhere coaching high school football.
But our main story, the Cardinals made a slew of roster cuts today, including safety Chris Banjo, Jace Whitaker as well, 2021 draft selections Michael Minette and James Wiggins, but then also Keyshawn Johnson. And Keyshawn Johnson's probably where we should start, Gambo, because I think a lot of people assumed he was just going to be the number five receiver.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm not going to lie. I kind of figured that he was going to make it too. Everybody was asking me about Andy Isabella. Nobody asked me about Keyshawn Johnson. I didn't do a lot of homework on Keyshawn Johnson. What's going to happen with Isabella? Now, last week on Wednesday, I reported that Isabella's made the team. He's not going to get cut. He's not going to get traded. He will make the team. He had really good practices last week. It wasn't going to come down to what happened in the New Orleans game, which of course was not played on Saturday morning. But he had made the team based on how well he practiced. We discussed that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week. He's good. Andy Isabella is not going to get cut, not going to get traded. But that was the guy everybody was asking about. They weren't asking a lot about Keyshawn Johnson. So Keyshawn getting cut comes at somewhat of a surprise. I mean, he was a draft pick of theirs, granted a later draft pick, sixth round draft pick, but that was not a guy that we were focusing on. We had all our attention on Isabella and not as much attention on Keyshawn Johnson. My understanding is he just got outplayed. He just basically got outplayed this year.
It's like it was so easy to make that race between Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson for the number five receiver spot. And right now, you know, maybe they only keep five. But guys like Greg Dortch and Antoine Wesley have come in and they've, you know, maybe they outplayed Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, the thing with Keyshawn is like he was, you said this earlier, I mean, he was getting reps with the first team in the two preseason games they had, and he just didn't really run with it.
No.
And so, I mean, I'm 100% on in that group that did not expect to see his name on the list of players being cut today. I know that you guys, I mean, you mentioned this last week, you actually mentioned it a couple weeks ago when I was in here doing the show with you, and we had the poll question of will Andy Isabella be on this team or not at the start of the season, and you voted yes. If you take a step back, though, and go big picture, if I had just told you with the way last season ended, preseason this year, Andy Isabella would never even step on the field. You know, some of the circumstances he had no control over, and obviously not a game on Saturday against New Orleans. But when you look big picture, it's kind of surprising that Isabella's kind of locked in. Now, I understand as we go through the nuance, and he has some
missed
practices.
15 days.
Yeah, I mean, he missed, and he
missed
was
15 days.
He was a fringe guy.
I'm telling you, one of the reasons why is you've got Christian Kirk will be an unrestricted free agent after this year.
Yeah.
Okay? He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. This is his fourth year in the league. This is his fourth year. He's a free agent next year. A.J. Green is on a one-year deal. So two of your top three receivers are on one-year deals.
Yeah.
They may both be. A.J. Green could be gone next year. So could Christian Kirk. So keeping Isabella, you know, and they did like him, like they do like him, and it's just they just wanted to see a little bit for him. But he's still under contract. So for Isabella, it's like, okay, you're like, you know, he's not an unrestricted free agent until after next year. So 2021, he's under contract for $915,000. Next year, he's under contract for $1 million. So it's just, it makes sense based on, one, they like him. He had really good practices last week. Two, you've got two guys on one-year deals, and he would still be under control for this year and then next year before he could be a free agent.
They have seven receivers on the roster right now. Obviously, Hopkins, Green, Kirk, Rondale Moore, Isabella, Antoine Wesley, and Greg Dortch. It's certainly possible that they could go out and add somebody. And then, of course, this name has come up, Larry Fitzgerald. Cliff Kingsbury was asked if he has spoken to him.
I have not spoken to him.
So there you go.
Yes, there you go. I dig a lot. I had a bunch of those on. Listen, you heard Larry speak last week on that. Was it a podcast? What was that that he did?
Is that the show he's doing with Tom Brady
yes,
and Jim Gray?
Yeah.
Let's Go, his Sirius XM show.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's Go, his Sirius XM show. Thank you. Appreciate
it.
Sarah's an avid listener to that show.
Yeah, she loves it.
Can't get enough of Jim Gray.
Nope. Who can?
Couldn't possibly.
No comments. I went out to dinner with that guy one time, and all he did was talk about himself for like 45 minutes.
Oh, you must have hated that guy.
Oh, my God. I was with Brian Colangelo and Jim Gray, and we were out to dinner, and like the guy just talked about himself for an hour, and I looked at Brian, I'm like, I can't believe you invited me to this. I'm going to kill you for this.
That's one of those tables where, like, if you're sitting at the table next to it, you're like, is that Gambo with Jim Gray and Brian Colangelo?
Yeah, just, like, rubbing my head, like, okay. Like, is there any point in this conversation you're not going to talk about yourself? Anything. Want to ask me how I'm doing? Want to ask me what I do?
You should go on
you
his show.
You want to ask me what my name is? Anything. I mean.
Want to ask me who I am?
It's like, sitting down, let me tell you about my career. You got 2 hours? Not a fan.
No.
But yeah, Larry Fitzgerald basically said, listen, I have no desire to play right now. We'll see if things change later on. But right now, he has no desire to play. So it is interesting that people are tying the two. Ooh, is it a roster spot that's open? I think that they look outside the organization to see if there's somebody that pops. Somebody that they may have liked in a previous draft that got cut by another team. I think that's what you look at.
I think you have to. You have to at least look. Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll be giving away college football tickets. So text Sparky to 620-620. We come back. A lot of roster positions in question right now for the Cardinals. We may have some insight, though, at the running back position. Who's going to be that third guy behind Chase Edmonds and James Conner? That's next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, we know Chase Edmonds is the starting running back for the Cardinals, and we know James Conner is going to be a big part of the equation as well. What we don't know, Gambo, is who's going to be number three on this team, or maybe we do.
Yeah, I think we do. I am expecting that Eno Benjamin will end up being the number three running back. I think he's had a great camp. I think if you look at the Dallas game, he was very dynamic with the big 30-plus yard run against Dallas, the 6-yard touchdown run. He had 10 carries for 50 yards. He's played good special teams. I think it's safe to say that he's been one of, if not their most improved players this year. So I would expect that Eno Benjamin is the number 3 running back and that Jonathan Ward, who did a good job for them last year, undrafted out of Cincinnati, started on the practice squad. I would think that Ward is your number 4 running back, and obviously a big decision there because number 3 dresses and is eligible to play and does play. But I would say right now that as we get to the end of the month, I'm going to say Eno Benjamin is going to be the number 3 running back for the Arizona Cardinals.
I think a lot of fans locally would love that. Nothing
against
Jonathan
Eno.
Ward, but yeah, I mean a guy that was at times dominant at ASU. So that's somebody that a lot of fans here in the Valley are familiar with. Cliff Kingsbury, this is from last Monday, and at the time they thought they were still going to have another preseason game, which is one where, you know, running backs can kind of make a more noticeable impression, at least on fans. But that game obviously got canceled on Saturday against New Orleans. But this is Cliff Kingsbury from last Monday talking about that battle between Jonathan Ward and Eno.
It's been highly competitive, no doubt. Both of them bring different things to the table and just continue to improve. I think they've both had flashes, and we'll see how it plays out Saturday.
Scenario where you could have 4 running backs on the roster?
I do.
Yeah, I mean, so they had 4 last year. It's just Eno was the 4th, so he has 0 carries to his name.
No, and I think this year, again, I think he came in and he was motivated and wanted to prove that he can play. You brought up that year he had back in 2018 with Arizona State. He was just so dynamic that year. He was so great. You know, he's got a lot of records at ASU. He's one of the top rushers all time. He's a top single-season leader in rushing. He's top 7 all-time in rushing. He's got the most yards ever in one game. He was one of those running backs. Anybody watching Eno Benjamin play at Arizona State, you thought this kid's going to be great in the NFL. And then he didn't really get the opportunities, since he got to the Cardinals. I'm expecting that Eno Benjamin will get those opportunities. I think he worked hard. I think he took advantage of what was in front of him. And I would not be surprised at all when it comes down that Eno Benjamin is the number 3 back.
Well, I mean, I will admit I'm biased on this because I watched that ASU team very closely, but I feel like he's more of the upside guy than Ward. If Eno's going to start to perform the way he has in the preseason and during training camp, and granted, these are preseason games and training camp, this is not going up against the Titans in week 1 or maybe a better team with a better defense would be a better example, but you talk about that year, yeah, 2018, over 1,900 all-purpose yards or yards from scrimmage.
And how many touchdowns?
18 touchdowns.
He was so good.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about one of the best running backs in the nation that year.
Yeah, Neil, listen, one of the best running backs in the history of ASU. I mean, he's one of their best backs. I mean, a lot of their great backs, you've got to go back to the 40s and the 50s and things like that. But, you know, I remember J.R. Redmond and how good J.R. Redmond was on that team with Jake Plummer and Juan Roque, that great team that made it to the Rose Bowl. J.R. Redmond had a few years in the NFL, too, with the Patriots, but I think that Eno Benjamin is the best ASU running back right there with J.R. Redmond. The 2 best running backs I've seen were those 2 guys. J.R. was a little bit different, you know, than Eno. But Eno was so good that you really felt like, man, not that he's a can't-miss NFL guy, because, again, it is running back.
Yeah.
But you really felt like he's going to make it in the NFL. How could he not? He's that good.
You felt like he would be getting advice from Herm on how to be a running back in the NFL. I mean, Herm had Curtis Martin. He had Larry Johnson. He had experience using running backs a lot in the NFL. And
Curtis Martin was my favorite running back ever.
He's a pretty good running back.
He was my favorite running back ever.
And they used Eno a lot in college. And that year that we're talking about, he finished 5th in the nation behind Jonathan Taylor. I mean, all these guys. Jonathan Taylor, Darrell Henderson. Yeah. Travion Williams, Travis Etienne was 4th that year, and now he's not playing this year because of the injury. But I just look, if the Cardinals season comes down to we need Eno Benjamin to carry them in the second half of the season, well then you have issues, because that means you don't have Chase Edmonds and you don't have James Conner. But in terms of it being a nice local story and maybe a guy with some upside if you did have to go to him for a game or two. Yeah, and he looked like an NFL running back in college.
He did. He did. So now we'll see. There are still, here's the thing, there's still practices left, but I don't think that there was any damage done by not playing in that game. I don't think there were any big decisions that were coming down to the preseason game against the Saints. I think they're there. I think they're at the point right now where they know what decisions are going to be made. I don't know that I believe that the preseason game against New Orleans would not have made any difference. I don't know that these practices coming up. We're going to have, what, four straight days off here for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Straight days off? Like, I think the decisions have been made. Now, we haven't heard anything yet. We'll see. They're cutting guys down. But again, I think when the decision is made, don't be surprised if Eno is your number three running back.
Yeah, those days off, that's going to be an interesting run here, because if what you're saying ends up being accurate and they already kind of had their decisions and they don't end up making a wrong decision because they didn't have enough preseason games, if that's the way this plays out, maybe it's almost an advantage over a team like Dallas who had to play four preseason games, or Pittsburgh had to play four. Like, if anything, I would think as long as it doesn't impact your decision-making, most of your main players shouldn't have suffered much wear and tear, because right. You had two preseason games.
Yeah, you had the two preseason games. You've had plenty of practices. It seems like Cliff is really big on practice, like really big on this is where guys are going to get their work in. This is where we're going to make our decisions. So these preseason games, almost like a burden. Like, it's a burden. Yeah. It's a burden to play these plays. Like, I'm sure when that plane turned around, they were like, yes, no preseason game. Let's go. More episodes of The White Lotus or whatever the hell he's watching right now.
They need to put that on the next Cardinals flight plan, because just the reaction of NFL players, especially vets, in the middle of the air finding out they don't have to play a preseason game. Must have been priceless.
Feel that plane turn around. This is your captain speaking. The game against the Saints have been called off, and everybody starts celebrating and everything. Yeah, they'll get 4 days off. So think about this. You've got, this game is in less than 2 weeks against Tennessee. Yeah. Less than 2 weeks.
2 weeks from yesterday.
Okay, so now you're down to 13 days, mm-hmm. and they're going to get 4 days off in a row. Yeah. And they're still going to get another day off and a travel day. There's not enough practices left, in my opinion. Like, everything's done. The decisions are done. They're done.
Yeah, they have to be.
They have to be.
That preseason game may have affected, four guys?
I don't even know if it affected four guys.
But at most, I mean, that's what it would have been. And it would have been like somebody like Jonathan Ward maybe would have had to have come in and had a huge game for it to impact him and Eno.
Yeah, I think that they feel really good about Eno. Yeah. I think, like I said, he's been one of the most improved players they have had this year, and I think Eno's going to get that number three job.
Yeah,
don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. I think Eno gets number three.
That would be excellent. Coming back, we'll talk about the Phoenix Suns and a familiar name that is not on the Suns but might eventually be on the Suns. It's resurfacing again today. We'll tell you why next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, it is the Burns and Gambo Show. Luke Lipinski in for Dave Burns, and it is time now for a Twitter poll update with Sarah Cazell.
Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
Just waiting for Luke to toss to me. It's
what?
Fine.
What is up?
I figured this was your moment.
Sanderson Ford poll question.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised at the earlier results.
Oh, you're
have
only going to be more
Ooh.
Surprised.
This is all on you.
Extend
did
your surprise. All right. Here's the question for those who missed it at 2:30. We are asking, with all the cuts being made today, the deadline is 1 o'clock tomorrow, Arizona time for the Cardinals. What do you think the Cards will do with their sixth wide receiver spot?
So it's think, not want the Cardinals to do.
Yes. What do you think is going to happen?
Why didn't you put two red exclamation marks? Points
I
on
put,
that thing.
I put asterisks next to think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A little emphasis.
Yeah. Not what you want
emphasis.
To happen. What do you think is
yes,
going
what
to
do
happen?
You think
See,
is happen?
I read those as almost air quotes, like sarcasm. Like, what do you think the Cardinals are going to do?
Ooh, we care about your opinion. Yeah. What do you think the Cardinals are going to do with their sixth wide receiver spot?
Okay.
Do you think they will just carry five receivers, not six? Do you think they will have Larry Fitzgerald come back?
Larry.
Or do you think they'll bring in a receiver to fill that sixth spot from outside the organization?
I'm going outside the organization. That they pluck somebody off of a roster of a guy who got cut. So it always happens. Some GM likes some guy and really liked him a few years ago and wanted to draft him and wasn't able to. And then this guy gets cut 2-3 years later and you grab him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I already agreed with that before. But what you said last segment or a couple segments ago when it was like, if you start looking at who the Cardinals have signed past this year at that position, you don't have that many. So if somebody, I mean, some of the names that are out there like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Anthony Miller, they haven't been released yet, but they're speculated they will be.
I know what they shouldn't do.
Okay.
They shouldn't pay the Perryman. Don't even fix a price.
Every time you say that, Bird has to scramble and find a song.
Whatever you do, don't pay the Perryman. I've been saying for years. Slim, for years I've been saying this.
It has been years. It really has.
Years. I've told everybody. Detroit paid him $2.5 million. I could have saved him $2.5 million. They cut him after they paid him $2.5 million.
For the record?
Yeah.
Christian BF95 says, I was going to vote for bringing in an outside receiver, but those dang exclamation marks let me think for myself in all caps.
See? That's what you wanted.
I influenced.
Yeah. You did. You influenced people to vote the way you wanted them to vote.
Who says I want them to bring back Larry Fitzgerald?
It's pretty clear based on
this. It's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious.
55% of our voters said Fitz is the solution to this situation. 24% went with the Cards will just carry five receivers, and 21% went with what you guys did, bringing in somebody else from outside the Cards.
We should have put Perryman in there. Sign Brent.
Not a second too late, Jordan. Is that a dying bird?
Does anyone on this show, I know Gamble doesn't, watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
That's what that sounded like.
Dayman, Fighter of the Night Man.
I almost made the reference, and I was like, who's going to get that? Bird will get it, and Bird made the reference before I could.
Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Calling out his name.
It's like
name,
a dehydrated
and
seagull.
Bones that Jared on a moan on the water.
A dehydrated seagull.
Right? You know what that sounds like.
Never happened.
Trouble ahead.
They're by the water so much.
Must pay me now. Don't do it. You must pay me now. Don't do it.
Oh. Wow. Every time Brashad Perriman's in the news, I do this show for
he
some reason.
He can never retire. Like, he would be so sad if he retired.
You're telling everybody not to pay him. He's going to retire at some point.
I know, and then I lose the song.
I know.
Like, I need another guy named Perryman to come around.
It's possible. There has to be another Perryman.
Huh. All right, so that's our poll.
So Larry Fitzgerald's winning.
I'm having too much fun on this show today.
He's having
way too much fun. Larry Fitzgerald's winning. People can vote on that on the Burns and Gambo page.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Where Sarah influences your decisions.
If you want,
why did I vote that way? Because Sarah put two big red exclamation points.
On that note, I'm going to put some exclamation points next to my Venmo on Twitter in case anybody's looking to be influenced. So.
We could make this easier. You could just send your Twitter password to Sarah. She can just vote for you.
Yes.
That's where we're headed,
exactly.
Basically.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. To basketball, Gambo. Sham Charania. This is a name that you've brought up quite a few times on the show before.
Yes.
Thaddeus Young. Sham Charania brought it up again today as a name the Suns might still be pursuing.
It makes a lot of sense. I do think that they have interest in him. I've said this a few times. They do have interest in him, but I don't know if I see this trade happening. It could. Like, I don't want to say no. It's a $14 million salary. You got to make it work. It's not easy. He fits what, like, Kevin Love doesn't fit what they want. Kevin Love can't play defense. He can't play defense as a four. He can't play defense as a five. He's a liability on defense. Thaddeus Young at 6'8 with great length is not a liability on defense. He's a good player on defense. So he can help you. It makes sense. You'd have to make a trade because you can't, you know, you got $14 million in salary. You've got to come within about $4 or $5 million of that. So it does have to be a trade. It's not like he's a free agent or he's going to be bought out or anything like that. If you want him, you have to trade for him. I think that makes it more difficult to do, but I mean, I've said this several times because his name's been out there for a while now. They have interest in him. They like him. He fits what they would want out of a player. It's just difficult based on you got to make a trade, and that trade has to match that salary.
And it has to be with San Antonio, which, as I said earlier, makes my skin crawl. But as I also mentioned to you earlier, I'm willing to do it as long as I get a public apology from the Spurs for that Robert Horry play.
Is there anybody else that you would want a public apology from? I mean,
there's probably quite a few, but the Spurs are right near the top of my list. And I want Popovich and I want Robert Horry both
like
there.
My good friend Danny Ainge for leaving Paxson open. Is that one right there?
I think he's probably already upset about that, though.
Are there any other apologies in sports that we would need from somebody?
Arizona? How much time do you have? I'm sure I could find quite a few. But if you could have that apology from anybody in Arizona sports history, it's probably coming from the Spurs, isn't it?
I would have wanted it from the now past David Stern. I'm sorry I suspended those guys. I never should have suspended those guys.
Yeah. But still tied.
I never should have. That's what I would have wanted.
Yeah.
David Stern being that guy that did it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck getting one from Popovich, too.
I don't think, listen, the Suns don't have to make any moves here. They can hold on to the roster spot. They can wait for buyouts to happen, and they can do it then. I mean, but an opportunity to get Thaddeus Young, the chances that you'll get a player in the buyout market better than Thaddeus Young, I think, are slim to none. I do. I think it's slim. I think it's not slim to know. It's just slim that you would get a player in the buyout market better than Thaddeus Young. So, and then James is big on continuity. If you had him all year, that'd be better than adding him at the last minute. So, I mean, it does. It absolutely makes some sense. It makes sense to do it. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done or not, but you could hold on to the roster spot, and you could do a 2-for-1 trade, having a roster spot open. You could do 2-2-way contracts if you want to go that route. You could pay a guy more money. If you get to the buyout market, they got better options. You know why? They could pay a guy for 2 years instead of one because they've got that exception available. You could pay a guy more money than a veteran's minimum because you haven't used your full mid-level, so you could offer a guy more money. So they're in a real position of strength if the buyout market comes.
All right. We're going to come back. Text us your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back.
There is some.
Yeah, this is potentially.
The Mike Garofolo news?
Yeah, we're gonna get to that here in just a moment. Something that could dramatically impact the Arizona Cardinals. That's next.
Wow.
Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Well, Gambo, this would not be good. According to Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network, Malcolm Butler, one of the players the Cardinals could least afford to lose, is potentially considering retirement.
Wow. Oh my goodness. This would be a gigantic body blow.
Yeah. Here's the clip first, and then we can react to it. This is Mike Garofolo.
Malcolm Butler, the Cardinals veteran cornerback. I have been told throughout the day from multiple sources that he is going through a personal situation right now, and part of that situation led him to be away from the facility within the last week for a period of time, and that he is still trying to work his way through that, and that right now, retirement or stepping away from the game is on the table for Malcolm Butler, the former Patriots Super Bowl hero, as well as the former Titan who spent the last couple of years in Tennessee. He signed with Arizona in the spring a one-year, $3.25 million deal that was fully guaranteed, and the Cardinals expected him to be a key part of their secondary. We'll see where this goes. The team has no comment on the matter, and Butler's agent did not respond to several attempts to get a comment from him, so we'll see where this goes.
Oof. Wow.
Wow. Wow was right.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to even think about not having Malcolm Butler. This was a big acquisition for them when they got him. He's expected to come in and, you know, be your starting, you know, right cornerback. Byron Murphy's been great. This would put your – remember, they cut Jace Whitaker today. I think he's going to end up on the practice squad. I think you'd have Byron Murphy as your one. Alford is your two, and then Marco Wilson would be your number three. You're going to play with three cornerbacks a lot because you're a nickel a whole lot. You'd have to make a trade.
You would
have to make a trade.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of messages in. I'm checking with a couple of players right now and people in the organization to see what I can find out. It'll be interesting because that would be a, man, that is a body blow.
Not to diminish whatever the personal issue is that he's going through, because I don't know what it is. So I'm just setting that aside for a second, though, and looking from the Cardinals' perspective. In terms of players you could least afford to lose this season, I mean, Kyler's obviously number one.
You know what? But he's right up there because
he's
of the lack of
like
depth.
Two or three, yeah, isn't he?
Just the lack of
Okay, Hopkins, Buddha, and then probably Butler. I mean, maybe Hudson.
No.
But you have depth on the offensive line.
You got some depth. Yeah, I mean he's probably top five.
Yeah.
Top five guys you wouldn't want to lose with Malcolm. But look, they really liked him better than Patrick Peterson. They did. They liked him better than Pat Pete. So they let, you know, I can't wait to hear the Pat Pete podcast, because if this happens, I'm sure he's going to take his shots. Look, they liked him. I mean, you know, he's competitive. He's physical. All the word that I got on the cornerbacks earlier in camp, Robert Alford looked great. Butler was competitive, physical. Murphy had been excellent. Marco Wilson, good. Tay Gowan had been a little raw, so I don't think that they felt that they could, you know, really count on Tay Gowan. Showing some flashes, but he was raw. But when they got Malcolm Butler, I'm telling you, they liked him a lot better than Patrick Peterson. And they got him at a good price. They didn't want to pay him number one cornerback money. So when they got him at a real good price, and they felt good about it. They felt really good about that.
Obviously this just came out like within the last 5 minutes, but I mean,
this is what we do. I mean, afternoon show, we get to react to stuff as it's happening. You know, that's a lot of stuff happens while this show is going on. This would be a tremendous blow. It would put the Cardinals in a position to where they would have to go out and start, and they'd have to make a trade. They would have to me, in my opinion, I don't think you're going to get anybody that's cut, that's going to come in and be a number one or number two cornerback. I think you're going to have to look for trades.
Yeah, because even if he were to not play, or even if he were just to miss the first few weeks of the season, by the way, the opener's against his former team in Tennessee, but let's just play that out and say Byron Murphy is outstanding and Robert Alford is good to go this season. I mean, you're still, like you said, you're probably going to play three corners a lot of the time anyway. So all of a sudden, Marco Wilson goes from, hey, this guy's looking pretty good for a fourth-round pick, to he better be amazing because he's playing all the time, and you have nothing behind them.
No, you're a nickel about 75% of the time in the NFL. About 75% of the time, you are in nickel coverage. So this would be just brutal to lose a guy that you were counting on to be your number one or number two guy. Now, Murphy's been great. So, you know, Byron Murphy's been great. And you could play him inside. You could play him outside. So, but I don't know about Robert Alford, right? He hasn't played in 2 years. You're counting on him a lot. Now, Marco Wilson's been really good, but again, rookie. So this is one of those areas, like, this is the NFL. You can't cover every single position with great depth. It just doesn't happen. Not every team could do that. But this is one that's really gonna sting if they do lose it. We don't know for sure.
No.
We don't know for sure, but it's definitely something that you gotta keep your eye on.
But I would be willing to say if you polled 1,000 Cardinals fans at the start of training camp, which position are you most concerned about the depth? I gotta think 95% would have said corner. And that was with Malcolm Butler, that was with Byron Murphy, all these guys playing.
Burnsy was really big on that. He's been concerned about that cornerback spot for a long time. Super concerned about the cornerback spot. But man, when they got Malcolm Butler, they were excited.
Remember they made that trade? They acquired Malcolm Butler during the NBA trade deadline. And I remember doing the show actually with Bickley that day, and
what was the date on that?
I don't remember what the trade deadline was this year. But I remember the reaction being like, whoa, you just shored up your position of your greatest need by bringing in Malcolm Butler. Because like we were talking about Rodney Hudson earlier in the show, it's a need to have a really good center. And Rodney Hudson may ultimately be a better football player right now than Malcolm Butler. I don't know. Probably is relative to his position. But you at least have other guys that can step in at all these positions. Like you couldn't lose DeAndre Hopkins because he's so good. But you do have other receivers that can play. Whereas at corner, I mean, you're already kind of leaning on a rookie and Marco Wilson to be your main depth guy. And if Malcolm Butler's missing any time, let alone retirement, I mean, to hear that word thrown around, then all of a sudden it's like Marco Wilson's playing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I got some messages in. I'll try to see what I could find out. But that would be a big blow to the Cardinals with Malcolm Butler if he's out. You know, their depth chart right now, you've got Butler and Byron Murphy starting, and you've got Robert Alford and Marco Wilson backing up. You know, after that, I mean, you know, again, you cut Jace Whitaker, but I'm reporting that I think both Jace Whitaker and James Wiggins, who was also cut, the safety, that they'll both end up on the practice squad. I think you're going to have to look and see if you can make a deal with somebody. I don't think you could go in. It's risky, right? It's risky. If you go in with Byron Murphy as your one, and then Robert Alford, who hasn't played in 2 years, and a rookie, Marco Wilson, is your next two guys. It's risky.
I don't even think that's risky. I think that's Russell Wilson will pick that apart, and Matt Stafford will pick that apart, and some of these other teams you play. I think it was, you went out and got Butler, like you said, you can't always be loaded at every position. So when you went out and got Butler, you did what you could do. And there was still some risk just because he's only one guy.
But if you had to go into the season minus Malcolm Butler, and like if he actually did retire and you didn't have him for the whole season, I think it's beyond risky. I think, like you said, you have to make a trade. The problem is teams know you have to make a trade. I mean, I guess everybody's making cuts right now. So in theory, you could maybe go out there and scoop up a couple corners that have some experience. But none of those are guys that you were going to bring in with the end. Some guy that gets cut by the Bills or whatever is not somebody that you would have envisioned replacing Patrick Peterson coming into this season.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Patrick Peterson is they weren't going to rule him out until they knew that they could get somebody else.
Yeah.
That's why they were always kind of like they kind of a fish on a hook, man. They just get, you know, bait on the hook. He was out there and just, they couldn't get anybody. Then they would have went back to and brought him back. So they never really ruled him out. But then I think once they felt like, hey, we could, you know, we can go get somebody better, then they were going to move on. They were always trying to get somebody better. They just didn't have the big money after what they did. Think about what they did. J.J. Watt, A.J. Green. Now, what you could debate is, should they have spent more money on a corner? I mean, I like what they did. They're great at wide receiver now. If J.J. Watt's healthy, that'll be good. They needed to get a kicker. They got a great kicker. I mean, that guy's been automatic so far. This will be interesting to see if Malcolm Butler does. Now, here's the other thing. Do you try to talk the guy out of retirement? Who was the offensive lineman a few years ago that left practice for a day?
Was it Veldier? That's who it was.
Jared Veldier. Okay. Jared Veldier, remember that? He left practice for a day.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, he wanted to retire. And then he kind of came back. And
wasn't it that he found out how much money he was going to owe to the Cardinals if he had retired?
Yes. But he wanted to retire. Like, he didn't want to play.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm always leery of that. If a guy, like, if it's in his heart that he doesn't want to play anymore, I mean, you could try to, you know, talk him out of it, but it's still, what are you going to get out of that guy?
Yeah, and we don't know what the personal situation is. Obviously, it's a developing story, but again, that's the latest Mike Garafolo of NFL Network about 15 minutes ago tweeting out that that Malcolm Butler is dealing with personal situation that has him mulling retirement, and that's from multiple sources, apparently. We'll come back. Obviously, we'll continue with that story, and we'll look at some of the cuts the Cardinals are making. They got to get down to 53 players by tomorrow, and this is obviously a pretty big wrinkle to that story now, too. Burns and Gambo Show, Luke Lipinski in for Dave Burns on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.